Hey friend, it's Stephanie Radcliffe, your host of the Stories Begin at Home podcast. I'm a homeschool mom of five from Florida, fixing up a charming 1950s home in the center of our city, adventuring with my wildlings and embracing a natural learning, living is learning lifestyle. I know firsthand the overwhelm and informational overload that we can find ourselves in these days regarding education and parenting choices. I created this space so we could inhale and exhale together. We'll chat all things homeschool, natural learning, gentle and respectful parenting, and faith-filled motherhood. But don't let any of those terms deter you. We don't judge a book by its cover over here, and all are welcome. Let's embrace our unique family stories and grow in confidence as we learn to trust ourselves and our children. So grab your coffee or tea, listen as you do dishes or change another load of laundry. Take a deep breath, grab a pen, literal or figurative, and let's rewrite freedom, joy, and connection in our homes and homeschools. All stories begin somewhere. Let's make ours begin at home. Hey friends, per usual, it's been way too long since I've caught up on publishing a new podcast episode. If you've been following my podcast at all, you know that I mentioned that in this amazing but very full season of my life with unschooling five kiddos and renovating our home, my priority for the podcast has had to take a back seat, and I can only fit it into the tiny nooks and crannies of my life. So thank you so much for your patience with me. I had the great pleasure of chatting with Amy Hughes at Simple Little Amy over on Instagram. Amy is a gentle parenting coach, writer, and has signed a contract working on a new book launching in 2025. I also got the immense pleasure of being able to meet her in person at the Wild and Free Conference last year, and it was such a great time. I'm so excited for all the wisdom she has to offer us. Her passion for encouraging parents, especially parents of faith, to throw off punitive and shame-based ways of parenting and move into peaceful and connected ways of parenting is so beautiful. And it's really so timely that I'm publishing this right now, as I've been sharing so much over on Instagram about my disheartenment over misconceptions many Christian parents have about gentle and respectful parenting. This has been really heavy on my heart, and Amy and I discussing what gentle parenting means to her and her family and how she encourages others in this was such a blessing. I love the way she says connection before correction and how she talks about all feelings are fine, but not every behavior or reaction is fine, and how she goes about helping other families with that and how she nurtures her children with this. I also adored the way she said we can be Christ-honoring and child-honoring all at the same time. We then delve into talking about her journey from a more rigid Charlotte Mason-based homeschool to a more freeing unschooling style, but with Charlotte Mason still being a huge influence in their homeschool. I love this so much. Amy talks about the way she naturally exposes her kids to things she finds important and things she finds value in and builds trust with them. We end on her encouragement for families that our homeschool truly doesn't have to look like anyone else's, that we often leave the public school system to homeschool, but can find ourselves comparing ourselves to just another system or method, some kind of homeschooling system we feel we need to measure up to, or feeling like social media tells us there's a quote unquote right way to homeschool. Amy is such an encouraging voice, reminding us that we can throw off all of these perceived pressures and find calming, more peaceful ways of educating and parenting our children. And we can learn to let go and give our children more freedom. She talks about a quote that really encouraged her from Patrick Ferenga, who worked with John Holt, where she says, "Unschooling is giving our children as much freedom as we can comfortably bear." We can build a foundation of trust and connection with our kids and trust the process. Thanks, Amy, for coming on the podcast. It was such a joy to chat. And Amy just released a new ebook, A Guide to Strewing, which gives us such great wisdom and tips for how to strew in our home. So I hope you'll check it out. The link to her Instagram bio and website are also in the show notes. Let me help us get right over to our chat. One more thing. Something that helps this podcast and helps to spread the word so that other mamas looking for encouragement in natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood can find us is by leaving a review. Scroll down past the episodes on your Apple Podcasts and you can find where to click for leaving a review. If you prefer Spotify, click on the three dots right under the Stories Begin at Home icon on the main show page and you can rate the show. I hope you can take the time to tell us what you're loving about the podcast, and I'm so thankful you take the time to do so. You can always share the show or a specific episode with a friend too. You can follow the show so you're notified when new episodes are published. And you can follow along over on Instagram at Stories Began at Home as I post when new episodes are published and share all things natural learning, gentle parenting, and faith-filled motherhood over there as well. You can also join the Stories Began at Home email list. I'm beyond thankful for your support, so for real this time, let's dive in to the episode. Amy, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you. So first of all, tell us a little bit about you, your family, your kiddos, what you do, what your mission is with your coaching and other services and all the good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I have 9 kids. We live in California. And so 3 of my kids are out of the house. Well, one's still here, but he's older. And so we have, I can do math, I swear. We have 6 at home. Well, I guess she's not homeschooling. So 5 homeschooling and her. Yeah, we're just living life and all that. My mission, I really just want to help parents, like especially parents of faith who like who are looking for a different way of parenting. And you know, a lot of people have grown up in the church and have been taught certain things, and really my mission is to help them like realize that they can parent in a more peaceful way. Yeah. That ties into homeschooling too, with you know, just being relaxed and realizing that, you know, we only have this one life and just one, our kids only have one childhood, and let's just enjoy it and be happy together.
Yeah, I love that. So true. I resonate with so much of that. Very cool. Well, we connected first over an unschooling hashtag group called Unschooling Fridays. And I just wanted to tell everybody that I immediately loved your content and resonated with it so much. Everything you're saying about even just now, like growing up in the church and hearing certain things and then what peaceful parenting is and how we can do that biblically. But then I also am always so encouraged with and excited to hear more. I'll ask you a little bit more about this a little later, but about unschooling and Charlotte Mason and like your story with that and how you talk about it was just like, so like one of your posts, I don't even remember which one specifically, but I was like, I almost jumped up and down. I was so excited. I was like, yes, I love this. But anyway, so let's first talk about Christian gentle parenting and how you help families with this. I know I have found that there seems to be like some misunderstandings about it. And sometimes, like you've said in a post recently, that some people think it promotes even bad behavior. So if you want to take some time and clarify what you say, gentle parenting, peaceful parenting, et cetera, whatever you want to call it, as Christian parents, we'd love to hear your perspective.
Yeah. Really, I think that gentle parenting is just recognizing that children are human beings too. And they're deserving of the same respect that all human beings are deserving of.
Yeah.
And I think that like on a broader scale is people are gaining awareness of that, but it's still within the Christian tradition, it's still new and people are still kind of fighting against that idea because they've been raised or taught, you know, that God commands you to spank and, you know, that we need to demand first time obedience from our kids and those kinds of things. And so it's a harder concept for Christian parents to take hold of. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is like help parents break down those like misconceptions mm-hmm. and show them it's not against the Bible to not spank your kids. It's not sinful. And that there are ways that we can guide and parent our children without punishments and shame. And, you know, we can be both Christ honoring and child honoring at the same time.
I love that. I love that. So how do you feel like you explain, like, how do you encourage parents who do really feel like they're promoting that bad behavior? Like, how do you flip that?
What I typically do is help people like break down their ideas about what bad behavior is, at the root cause of why a child is behaving a certain way. And that kids are just new to this planet. They don't really get it. And so many things, like, they don't understand. Like, and we will, like react based on, you know, thinking that they should get this, but they don't. And then it's just like, you know, there is bad behavior, I suppose, but it's few and far between, I think, when we really look at like why a child is behaving, what they understand, what we're demonstrating to them. So really it's just about like understanding, you know, the root cause and why a child is going through something, why they are behaving a certain way or responding a certain way.
Yeah. And I think you even talked about that like today or yesterday in your post about behavior, unmet needs.
And a lot of what it is, it's unmet, you know, our kids have a need and they don't know how to express it. They don't know how to say, hey, I need this right now, you know, especially when they're younger. And then they react and we don't, you know, we don't know, or we respond to that instead of realizing that there's something they actually need here. And we can respond to the need if we learn to look for needs, we respond to those needs, and then later on communicate about the behavior, like,
right,
hey, next time you're feeling that way, let's try to do this instead. Right. And so that misconception about promoting bad behavior is just like, people don't get that you're still going to address the behavior. You're just not doing it in a punishing way, or in a way where you're shaming your kid or you're not having grace on them. But you're like, you address the behavior. And we always say we connect before we correct, you know, so we guide them, we meet their needs. And then together we discuss what's up, talk to them, help them understand what to do instead.
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, like, that's going with your like misconception of like first time obedience thing, because we can wait to correct and that's okay. Especially because going all OT here, occupational therapy, like zones of regulation, if they're in that red zone where they're like not regulated out, you know, just expressing themselves and feeling out of control, like we all do, adults included, like they're not going to understand the correction at that time anyways. And neither are we as adults. So I know there's so many times where I'll like say something to one of my kids and then think, oh yeah, that goes for me too. Oh yeah, I need to probably work on that myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's one of the things that, one of the like big things that stops me in my tracks as I've gone with gentle parenting and have a journey of my own with that. I'm like, so many times people ask that children behave better than adults can seem to do.
Right.
So like, very interesting.
Don't expect kids to have bad days, but we have bad days all the time.
Right. Exactly.
You want to play with her?
So, I love that. So you have coaching services where you coach clients and families about all that good stuff, right? Yeah.
Awesome. And I also every once in a while do an intro to Gentle Parenting for Christians.
Oh, I love that. Help. Okay, very cool.
Kind of break down everything together. Okay. And
that's awesome. I love that. Okay, so let's also chat about, let me see if I've repeated myself here. I loved one time that you said, I feel like it sounds like I stalk you. Cause I'm like, and when you said this, and when you said that, how, gentle parenting doesn't always mean peaceful because you want some children's opinions. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people imagine gentle parenting is like all peaceful and butterflies and rainbows, but it's actually really hard. And there's a lot of conflict sometimes. Just because when you have a lot of people and you're letting them voice their opinions and you're talking through things instead of just, hey, that, you know, wasn't okay, go to your room. There's conflict. It's all about how we handle that and how we, we as parents keep our cool, because, you know, I always say like parenting is 90% about the parent and like letting, we need to handle things well, but our kids are gonna, you know, there's going to be disagreement. And, especially if you give your kids a voice, they're going to be like, no, why can't I do that? Or, well, I don't think we should do that, you know, or I think, you know, my kids will, they'll tell me. I've given them the ability to say, hey, I think that you're, you know, being like you're not being, but you're not thinking through this here. Like, I let my kids tell me that, you know, like, can you rethink this? Like, this isn't fair. And, you know, so I let them talk and I let them say what they want to say. And, you know, I let them have their feelings and opinions and express them. And, you know, so sometimes it's not like super, sometimes it's not super peaceful because we're discussing things that, and as your kids get hard or older, it can become hard topics, you know? So,
yeah.
I think it's about how we respond. You know, we often will say to our kids, like, all your feelings are fine, but not every behavior or not every reaction to those feelings is fine. So we need to like find a balance and a way to share those feelings without, you know, exploding or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's switch gears a little bit over to Charlotte Mason. And I actually was listening. I told you, I tagged you and I never got to finish it, but you were talking about your unschooling journey when you were on the Living Joyfully podcast. And so I didn't know totally your backstory of having done Charlotte Mason for so many years and then changing. So that's a new little thing we could add into it. But I love the way you talk about how you combine Charlotte Mason habits and practices into your unschool. You can chat about how you organically bring Charlotte Mason into your home, but give children the option to partake or not, and what that looks like.
So we started out super Charlotte Mason. And then probably, I'm going to say 5 years into homeschooling, started leaning more towards unschooling. And we were fully like, I like just threw everything out at first. Like, I was like, curriculum, light the room on fire, you know, but I slowly like it, you know, I had that, I think everybody does. Oh, hold on. Sorry. I think everybody does have that time of, you know, they go all the way over here, then they like get scared and they go back, and it's like this back and forth. And for me, I didn't want to back and forth, but I wasn't totally comfortable with, you know, I was just trying to figure it out. Like, where's the line? Like, where do I say yes? Where do I say no? And, I ended up, reading a quote from Patrick Ferenga, who worked with John Holt, and he said unschooling is giving your freedom as much, or giving your children as much freedom as you can comfortably bear. And that quote, like, was, that's what I needed to hear. It was like, you know, we're allowed to have our boundaries. We're allowed to have our own, like, like line of what we can bear and what we cannot bear. Yeah. And that's kind of the beauty of parenting and homeschooling and unschooling and everything, is it like we get to decide. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that in mind, I was able to be like, okay, well, these are the things that, you know, these are my boundaries. Like, I want to fill my home with books still. I want to fill my home with the things of Charlotte Mason that I really love, and just give my freedom within them. And not only those things, like, we have, there's tons of other things, but those are the things that I want to make up our home atmosphere. So they're going to be like the foundation. Yeah. But my kids still have the freedom to either partake in these things or not. Like, when I will read aloud classic literature, but like, not all my kids come and listen, you know? I give them all, you know, lots of books. I strew books.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So how did you get to that point, like, that you talked about, that you were able to let go, that if they don't want to listen to what you're reading, that you're like, okay, how do you handle that? Or
I don't know. It was just, I think at first I was like, no, I want you to be here. I want you to read with us. But I mean, I see, it's over time, I've just seen what my kids do instead, you know, and it's all good. And the thing about it is, like, because of the freedom that we have and the freedom that they have, if I say to them, you guys, I really want you to sit and hear this book. You've never read this one, and I really feel it's important for you to read. Or I got this book for you, and please read it, because it's really, like, an important book for your time in your life right now. They will do it. Yeah. Because not like I'm always saying, no, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's if I'm asking them to do this, I think it's important, then they, you know, we've built a foundation where they, like, get that and they respect that, because that's not every day and that's not everything.
Right. I love that. I feel like that's, like, such a great example of what you said, like, the foundation of trust.
Because right.
They know it's a, if you're saying, no, I really want this, because you don't do that about everything, then they're like, okay, I get that. Yeah. And that's such a good point about what they're doing instead. Cause I'll have moments, I've really let go a lot with their reading aloud and stuff. And I have one child who almost never wants to hear or read aloud, but then I'll go see what they're doing. And usually they're, like, deep, hardcore in play. And I'm like, okay, so that's fine. That's amazing. Right. So yeah. That's such a great point. I love that. Okay. So you talk about the stress and overwhelm many homeschool moms feel and get stuck in, because they feel like they're not doing enough, or they're not doing the Instagrammable things. So you say that your advice is, again, from one of your posts, you said your advice is always the same. I'm just going to quote everything you say here. Your homeschool is yours. It doesn't have to look like anyone else's. So let's end on your encouragement for families about that.
Yeah. I mean, so most of us were raised in the school system. And even when we start homeschooling, we have this, like, underlying idea that these are the things that kids have to learn, and this is when they have to learn them. And then we go on Instagram and then we see all these amazing things people are doing, and they're all doing morning time and poetry tea time and, you know, all these different things. And like, well, my kids don't like that, or I can't do that, or, you know, I don't want to do that. And we feel like bad. We're not doing school like they are in school, but we're also not doing what we think all the homeschool parents are doing. And, like, so, you know, it's just, none of us do it all. And in fact, some of us don't do any of it. And it's okay, you know, because we're all going to have, all kids, even kids in school, have learning gaps. Yeah. You know, the important thing is, like, building this foundation of connection and trust and teaching your kids how to learn, like, so that they know they can go learn whatever they need to throughout their lives. And just letting go of that idea that we have to do it all. If we have, you know, we all have these arbitrary expectations, and we kind of need to like realize what expectations we have that are arbitrary, that are based on the school system or just things we see other parents doing, and learn to kind of just let go of that and realize that like we have time, we have freedom, and like we can actually make our homeschool just what we like. It can be peaceful, it can be okay, we can enjoy it. It doesn't have to look like anybody else's, and it does, that doesn't make it bad or wrong if it doesn't.
Yeah, I love that. And I don't think I've thought about it that way. Like I said something today about like trading one box for another, that we often like go from a school box to like whatever. But I like what you're saying too, that it's so easy. We all do this. Like we're like, okay, so maybe we're not following school standards anymore, but then we in our brains start comparing ourselves to other homeschool families, and then those become our standards. So it's just, you know, swapping standards for standards. So that's such a great thing just to be aware of how we're doing that, and then learning to break free from that. And like you said, finding confidence that it's really okay if it doesn't look like anyone else.
So exactly.
Yeah. And I think that can kind of feel like isolating sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But I think that the more that we learn to do that, the more we find our people who are doing it. And again, not that we have to look like one another, but that we're supporting one another and how we're doing things. So yeah, very cool. Well, thank you, Amy, for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I will make sure I tag all your site, your Instagram, all your good stuff, so people can find you.
Awesome.
So, all righty. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Amy.
Bye.
Bye.